and welcome to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us.
So, here you are. Too foreign for home, too foreign for here. Never enough for both. This is a poem by Ijeoma Umebinuo, and this is a poem for TCKs. Hello, my name is Jen Mohindra. I work with adult TCKs to help you leverage your TCK journey so that you can find your place in the world. What's a TCK? TCKs are third culture kids. I'm a TCK. We were raised in a culture other than that of our parents or our country of nationality for a significant part of our formative years. Or another way of describing us, as seen on a fellow TCK's website, is that we're one of the coolest people you'll know. So what does being a TCK look like? Because of our nomadic upbringing, we come with a wealth of experience. Now on the surface, that sounds like a good thing, yeah? But it comes with challenges as well as benefits. Now I'm going to say two words that will resonate with you if you are a TCK. Two words whose meaning will be very familiar to you. Restlessness and rootlessness. So how do you overcome these feelings of restlessness and rootlessness? How do you work out what security and stability mean to you? How do you find your place in the world? The place that you can belong? The place that is home? Your home? I'd like you to imagine you're at an event. People are talking, there are drinks, there are canapes. It's all going very nicely. And you see a familiar face. There's a smile of recognition, and you walk over to say hello. She's talking to someone you haven't met before. You're introduced to each other. And then comes the question. Where are you from? And you quickly scan through your mental catalogue of pre-prepared answers to choose one for this moment, because for you, it's not a straightforward question. It may sound like a simple question to others, it's only four words, but for you, those four words have multiple layers of meaning. Do you say the place that you were born? Or where you were brought up, which usually includes many places? Or where you currently live, or where your parents or grandparents lived, which also usually includes many places. Do you answer with the condensed version, or the long version, or fall back to the one-word answer? And in those few seconds of hesitation, while you choose your answer, how many brain calories do you use with all that processing? Lots, right? It's exhausting, isn't it? Do you feel like you have to explain because your accent or your appearance doesn't match your response? And in doing so, you're trying to avoid the next question. But where are you really from? If you list the places you've lived, you risk killing the conversation, or come across as bragging, or just seen as weird. That question, where are you from, can make you feel like a stranger. There's an implication that you're not from here. And this question for people like us can be challenging, alienating, or simply horrible. Let me ask you a question. What's been the hardest thing for you about an international move? Was it loneliness? Making new friends? Processing the loss of your old place and friends? Adjusting to a new culture and customs? Or never feeling fully at home and being confident in all the social rituals? For example, not making eye contact when speaking in Western countries is often considered rude whereas in some Asian countries, it can be the opposite. What else has been hard? Watching the other person's eyes glaze over as you answer the inevitable question, "Where are you from?" Or was it something else? As a third culture kid, you've probably had to deal with each of these things during your childhood. We've learned behaviours to protect ourselves. We wanted to feel normal, and we tried not to feel like the outsider or the weirdo. We adapted our behaviour so that we could fit in, and we came up with different responses to that question, "Where are you from?" building up our catalogue of pre-prepared answers. We learned the hard way how to mimic that most adaptable of creatures, the chameleon. And like the chameleon, we can, in an instant, change our outward appearance to match that of our surroundings. We can blend into every possible social situation quickly and with apparent ease. But at what cost? We are the people who don't have relationships with our extended family. We may have them, but we didn't have the luxury of living nearby so that they became part of the fabric of our lives. And we have gaps in our cultural references. We don't always follow when people talk about particular TV shows or music that was popular at a time when we were elsewhere, or when they share a catchphrase that everyone else remembers from their youth. We're left feeling like that outsider, alienated and misunderstood. Monocultural people often don't understand us. The thought of living in one place for all of your life is as much as a foreign concept to us as we are to them. They often think we're bragging. And when I lived in Kenya between the ages of 8 and 13, we used to go to see the game parks in the school holidays, and seeing all kinds of African wildlife, well, it was just something that I grew up with. But I remember being in conversation as a teenager with some friends when I was at college in Australia. Something came up about lions, and I made a comment which prompted them to ask, "Oh, so how many lions have you seen?" "Well, quite a lot, really," were the words that fell out. It was the truth, but I wished I'd never opened my mouth because of the ridicule that followed. The beaches in Perth, Australian Perth, are renowned for their beauty. However, if you're used to Kenyan beaches, there's not so much to write home about. Perth beaches are a long strip of sand, a car park, and a road running alongside. To me, they're not a patch on the white sand and palm tree fringed beaches of Mombasa. However, when I said this, I quickly realised it was an unpopular opinion, and once again, it was considered bragging. A TTK who I know recently split up with a boyfriend. The final straw, so to speak, had been a conversation in which she had mentioned something about the staff she'd had in her house in Africa as a child. The response she got implied that she was somehow stuck up due to having had staff, which was completely missing the point about a different culture. It's just the way of life there. In fact, it was weird not to have people working for you. Our house in Kenya had a separate dwelling, and as long as it was unoccupied, because my parents didn't want staff, we had a steady stream of people coming to our door wanting to work for us. Now, this didn't make us privileged. It made us normal. And another thing was that when I left Kenya and started school in Perth, nobody had heard of Nairobi or Kenya. And when I said East Africa, trying not to roll my eyes, they tried to tell me it was in South Africa. It's so frustrating when you have a place that's so dear to you, somewhere that you've lived and made memories in and might be feeling homesick for, to have people who haven't even heard of it. Moving on, other TTK struggles that monocultural people just don't get include our weird accents. People don't understand why our accent changes, and there's that chameleon again, right? our accents change to reflect that of the person to whom we're talking. It becomes all the more apparent if that person has an accent from one of the countries in which we've lived. They think we're having a laugh, but we don't even notice we're doing it. My parents said that I quickly developed a strong Aussie accent when we moved to Perth. I have no recollection of this, but I do know why I would have done it. I mean, who wants to be the foreigner in a monocultural school full of hormonal teenagers? Another thing we do is that we use different words for things, words that we've learned from other places, places that once were home. Some words just fit better than the words of a new and still strange place. There are simple ones, like tap or faucet, pushchair or stroller, flip-flops or thongs, and try getting that one wrong in the aforementioned group of hormonal teenagers. Trousers or pants, rubber or a razor, another one not to get wrong. I could go on, but you get the picture, right? And when you do use the correct word, are you pronouncing it the correct way? How many of us quietly grit our teeth as we're told it's yogurt, not yogurt? Tomato, not tomato. Data, not data. You're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And there are words in languages other than English that reflect the feelings of TCKs. The Portuguese word, saudade, meaning a deep emotional state of nostalgic or profound melancholic longing for an absent something or someone that one cares for and or loves. Or the Welsh word, hiraeth, which is homesickness or nostalgia, an earnest longing or desire or a sense of regret. Both are a beautiful summing up of how we feel. We spend our lives living amongst monocultural people, and monocultural people don't understand what it's like to move to a new country. To move to a new country is a challenge in itself, and to have no one who understands once you get there can make it even more challenging. Monocultural people also don't understand how difficult it can be to move back to your own country. Reverse culture shock is not fatal, but it is real. You've been away, you've changed, and your home country might have changed too, but you're not in sync. How could it be possible to feel foreign in your own country? And yet that's how it is for many of us. Going home can bring the realization that it wasn't the actual place that you missed, but the place from your childhood memories. So now that I've laid out some of the ways in which we struggle, in which we don't feel like we belong or feel at home, let's look at the things you may want to consider when you reach the point in your life where you want to put down those feelings of restlessness and rootlessness. We all reach this place, yet most of us don't know how to move past those feelings and to find the peace that we yearn and yet which seems so elusive. First of all, let me start by saying that you can find this peace. It is possible for all TCKs to settle down, to put down roots, if that's what they want to do. So how do we do it? How do we figure out what we need to do? It's important to understand that finding peace isn't a matter of having an aha moment. It's a process. There's nothing magical or mystical about this process, but it is one that's difficult to do on your own. In fact, it was being supported through this process myself that led me into my current line of work. There are three steps in the process, and I'll outline them for you one at a time. So firstly, define what it is that you need to feel settled. Now, you can do this by writing a wish list. What are the things that you would love to have in the place that you want to make your home? You may want to consider these things, and I'm sure that you'll have plenty of your own as well. So things like the weather, easy access to travel, by the sea or the mountains or somewhere else, where you know people, or where you know the language, perhaps where you can get certain food items, or where you can practice your religion without fear of persecution, or where your sexuality is no one else's concern. Secondly, once you have this list, it's worth walking away and doing something else for a while before returning to it with fresh eyes. And ask yourself this question: what's realistic? Is it possible for you to live somewhere like that with your current passport or passports? Can you get a visa? Would your kids be okay? Can you work there? Are your qualifications recognised there and at the same level? Does the location allow you to maintain family or other responsibilities? So finally, now that you have a realistic list, it's time to start looking for places that fit the criteria. Easy to say, not quite as easy to do. And that's it. A simple process. Simple, of course, doesn't mean easy. If it was easy, then we TCKs wouldn't all have the sense of being unsettled, would we? We would all have found our peace and let go of our need to be constantly on the move. If anything I've said has resonated with you, or if you've been nodding your head in agreement at the discomforts and problems that we TCKs face, why don't we talk? If you go to my website, jenmohindra.com, you can book a slot in my diary and we can talk. It costs nothing, and it has led to other TCKs finding their peace, and maybe it could lead to you finding yours. Remember, I work with adult TCKs to help you leverage your TCK journey to find your place in the world. Your place. The place that you can call home and mean it.
Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.